Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Muslim Marriage Podcast, where we talk about healthy relationships from a Muslim lens. I'm Zahra Hassan.
And I'm AJ, and we've been married for 2.5 years.
And let's get started. On today's episode, we'll be talking about the first year of marriage. When it comes to the first year, it's all about navigating each other, figuring out how the two of you live life, because you're now doing that in the same house together, and within that context, establishing healthy routines about how you talk to each other, about how you interact with one another.
Whoever is the more dominant person in the pecking order.
Yeah. Well, ideally, no. Ideally, it's inshallah a partnership of some kind.
It's not a competition, huh?
No, it's a hierarchy. I mean, it's some.
I've been going about a year for 2.5 years now.
We have some changes to make.
Yeah.
When it comes to building a healthy marriage, it really comes down to two things: good support between the two of you when things are going well, when things are good, and healthy conflict resolution routines when things are challenging. So let's start by talking about the challenging stuff, the conflict resolution.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah. How many fights would you say we've had? Like, knock down, drag out?
At least under 10.
Under 10?
Yeah.
Oh, you're being serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, I
would think under 10.
I think so too. Like,
probably even under 5.
Honestly, I can't. Alhamdulillah, I can't remember too many.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So it's, and even for the ones that we've had, we've developed like a really good habit of how we solve our issues. And definitely from my side, like when I see an issue happening, I'm like, okay, this is something that's going to require attention. We're going to have to talk this through. I don't feel any anxiety about that because I know that we know how to do that.
Boxing glove in the corner.
Okay. Yes, boxing gloves, but no, actually, no boxing gloves. We just go through our, I saw that that could definitely be misconstrued. We just go through our healthy conflict resolution routine.
We talk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We talk.
Yeah, what a concept. So if we talk about conflict resolution, there's generally two kinds, based on my experience.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. There is the types of conflicts where one or both of you are feeling triggered, and the type of conflict where the both of you are feeling calm. And your approach to how you're going to now address this will really depend on which one of these two that you're in.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you are, you, for example, you are feeling triggered, and that means that you have that heightened sympathetic nervous system is going, you're operating more from a fight or flight, you're feeling really attacked, mm-hmm. and all of those emotions are going, it's going to be very hard to use the same rules that you would when you have a calm decision, like when you have a calm discussion to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Easily. Yeah. What's the third thing? Fight, flight.
Oh, sometimes they say there's actually four. There's fight.
Freeze.
There's freeze. And there was a fourth one added called fawn. Fawn. Where when you are having a difficult time and you go into that sympathetic nervous system, fawn is when you just start giving the other person all the things that they want.
Mm.
And you start saying whatever you need to say in order to get them to calm down.
Surely that only,
It
applies to humans, right? Like, if a deer goes into fight or flight, it's not going to say, eat me, or something like that.
No. It's interesting, actually. No, deer tend to run. Yeah. Ironically, they don't. Fawns don't fawn.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for the triggered state, when somebody is in the triggered state, I have a lot of clients who come to me and they tell me, we're having all of these fights, you know, the fights will tend to be around household chores. That's usually what's most common, you know.
Seems like a big one.
Yeah, he or she is not emptying the dishes. He or she, the other person, they feel as if that their spouse is not really pulling their weight. That they feel like they're contributing more to the relationship than their spouse. That's the most common context. And when this has been going on for a long time, and the person has either developed a wound associated with this repeated pattern, or they're coming into their relationship with a wound associated with this pattern, they'll be much more likely to get into the triggered state with smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller triggers, issues. So a common question is, what do I do when this happens? So this is something that we go through in detail when with clients when we're doing the one-on-one coaching. There's a number of things that you can do. But for the sake of this podcast here, the first step is to recognize that you are in the triggered state, right? So that's actually, by itself can be difficult for people, but there are certain strategies and techniques that you can practice to start to recognize when you are feeling triggered, for lack of a better word. So after you recognize that you are in the triggered state, the next step is to de-escalate. The way to de-escalate, for the sake of this podcast, is just to tell your partner, I'm feeling a little bit triggered, I need a moment, and to walk away. And when you walk away, you do whatever you need to do to self-soothe. Many people find journaling helps. Sometimes people will do somatic exercises, you know, like handshaking, right? Like if you're feeling a lot of tension inside of your body, to help you sort of release that tension and get back to baseline, you can do handshaking. There are some grounding techniques. All you have to do is type in self-soothing into YouTube or Google and you'll get a very long list of strategies. Do you use any self-soothing?
Yeah, you know what? Typically, it's just like sitting down in the room and just brooding for a little while.
In your office?
Yeah, no joke or anything like that. I know I make everything a joke.
Yeah.
But if I'm ever angry, I'll just sit down and just brood over it.
Yeah.
And then whenever I'm calm enough, I'll go address the person and say, hey, this thing that you did, I didn't really like. Can we talk about it?
Yeah.
Usually say no, and then I end up going back and brooding some more.
When you say the other person, is it me?
No.
Well, there's other people?
You're very talkative.
Okay. You're saying I usually initiate that conversation.
Yeah, usually it's like with my family members, you know?
Yeah.
Like if we're ever having those childlike arguments growing up, I'd like to just take a second, try to calm down, and then attack the problem from the whole debate angle instead of shouting over each other.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so like what I'm hearing is that you just take a time out, sit down, and de-stress in your office.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Personally, what I find helps is journaling, because once I am able to collect my thoughts, so I usually ask myself, why am I feeling this way? Right, so you go through the exercises of trying to understand where this feeling is coming from. Why is it that this specific incident had me so triggered, and try to untangle what was going on within me?
Yeah.
So
if I try to figure out if it's like a rational thing or an irrational thing.
Exactly. That's usually the next step. But whatever it is that I figure out what it is, it's very helpful for going into the next step. Because once you have an argument or a fight or something that's emotional that with your spouse, it's a good idea to try to resolve it between the two of you. If you leave things unresolved, especially too many things unresolved, this is a good way to start building resentment. Right? And resentment is something that you want to avoid as much as you can, because it will inevitably lead to the four horsemen of divorce that was outlined by Mr. Gottman, a marriage expert. So we can talk about that a different time. But the idea is you want to avoid resentment. Therefore, you should try to talk through issues as much as you can with your spouse. So how do you do that? So once you leave the trigger state and you are calm, then you can now come back to your spouse and have a discussion when the both of you are calm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you go through the steps of having the discussion, right? But before you have that discussion, earlier in your marriage, when you were both, you know, at a time when you were both very calm, you ideally would have set up a safe space,
yeah,
where these discussions will be carried out. For me and you, that's here in this office.
The office, yeah, the office is a safe space.
Yeah, so we've learned very early on that whenever we were ready to talk through an issue, we would both come back to the office. You'd sit in your chair, I'd sit on the couch, right? If you've noticed, we even sit in the same way each time. We both face the same way each time. And here in the safe space, there are certain rules that are inherent, like we've just been upholding these rules subconsciously. But I tell clients explicitly the rules for a safe space is, first of all, no judgment. Whatever it is that comes up, it's important not to judge your spouse. Mm-hmm. Second of all, don't interrupt each other. Whoever is talking is talking. Try not to interrupt each other. It's going to be a very respectful space. And thirdly, to come in with the right mindset. And the mindset is that this is somebody that you love very much, that you care about very much. They're not the enemy. And whatever it is that's going on, the truth is you don't know why they did what they did or why they didn't do what they did. They didn't do the thing that you wanted them to do. So, for example, the dishes. So you've asked him to wash the dishes. It's been 3 days. He still hasn't washed the dishes. And now you're going to have to do it. That's a common scenario. So you might start to assume things like, depending on your core wounds, the assumptions might be, well, he doesn't really care about me, you know, it's not important to him how I feel, this is disrespectful, whatever it is that you're assuming. These are assumptions, right? You don't actually know why he did the thing that he did. And part of the safe space and part of the discussion is to try to understand that so that you have a more accurate context for what it is that actually happened, rather than the emotional context that's based on the core wounds that very often we bring into the marriage that our spouse had nothing to do with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody has their own baggage.
Yeah. Baggage.
So it's not fair to just expect somebody to be able to read your mind and not trigger you.
Yeah, absolutely. For a second, I thought you said badgers. And I thought that's brilliant. Everybody has their own badgers.
Yeah.
They come out fighting. Guns
they come blazing. Out of nowhere. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. And in the context of our marriage, like, I have that classic wound associated with security and things getting done the way that I think they should be done at the right time. And now I'm very conscious of this. So whenever I feel triggered, I find that usually that's the reason. It touched on that wound of it's not getting done the way that I think it should get done, and it doesn't make me feel safe. It makes me feel like something bad could happen. A lot of this is irrational and it's a me issue, right? And I say all of that to say that when you are journaling or when you are in that de-escalation phase and you're self-soothing, you'll start to notice a pattern within yourself of why you are being triggered by these specific things. And if you realize that that pattern is a you thing, in my case it is, it's a me thing, that it's important for the sake of your marriage to start some sort of healing process, to start some sort of process to resolve that core wound or to try to reprogram that core wound. There are many, many different ways to do that. Sometimes therapy, sometimes self-learning. There are certain programs that I recommend to my clients that tend to work well.
Yeah.
But the idea is it's something that should be addressed on your own time so as to not complicate or not to make things more difficult in your marriage. You'll be triggered a lot less. And of course, the same is true for your spouse. If you start noticing a pattern within him or within her, then again, that you might want to recommend and be like, hey, I feel like you're having an issue around this, and have that discussion.
Why do you just have like boxing gloves in the corner? That's weird. I feel like there's something we need to touch on here.
The boxing gloves?
Yeah.
Yes. There are no boxing gloves?
Not yet.
Okay. It sounds like a threat. Okay. But That's what that is. And then, so the next question comes about discussion. Mm-hmm. So when you are both calm and you are in your safe space, established safe space, how do you actually talk things out?
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you don't want your safe space to become the war zone if you guys don't know how to talk within that safe space. Because in reality, if you guys don't know how to talk things out, you'll just get back into that same argument.
You become triggered again. Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes that does happen when you are in the midst of having a calm discussion that started out initially calmly. Somebody can become triggered, then you have to go through the steps again of de-escalating and saying, hi, I'm gonna need a few minutes where you step out and you step back in.
Mm-hmm.
So the steps for a discussion. The first step is to validate your partner's experience because you want your partner to hear you. So whenever you're having a conversation with somebody that is a challenging conversation, the first thing that you do is to validate them. This is true for outside marriage as well. Like if you're at work or just wherever with your family members, your siblings, and you're having a difficult conversation, they say start with the positive. For coaches, you start by validating their experience. So the way that you do that,
I think you meant to say outside relationships, not outside marriage.
Oh yeah, definitely. So not outside of marriage. Yes, no, inshallah you stay with your spouse and there are no others. But I mean, in other relationships other than the one that you have with your married partner. So what does that look like? So if we go back to the experience, the example with the dishes, you'll say something like, okay, I understand that you were very busy over the last 3 days. You were working overnight, working on such and such project. And you have been so tired that you didn't get a chance to do the dishes. So that's how you validate their experience, your best guess of why you think that they actually did or didn't do the thing.
The next sentence
is,
but boy, if you don't start those dishes immediately.
So the next step actually is to now speak about your experience in this context. So you say, And I understand that's why you didn't do the dishes. But for me, whenever it takes this long to do the dishes, even though I know that you're tired, it makes me feel like that you're not really respecting me, or it makes me feel like that you're not investing as much as I am. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, the feeling. And your partner will almost always say, "But that's not true." You say, "Yes, I understand. It may not be true, but that's how I feel."
That's how I feel.
Yes, because that is how you feel. That's the truth of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
And once you explain your experience, the third step is to now check in.
How do you feel?
Usually it's a check-in of did you understand? You want to know if they understood what you were trying to say.
Yeah.
So you say, what do you think about that? Or does that make sense? So you want them to articulate whether or not they're on the same page as you. Because they might have not understood you at all.
Yeah.
And if they didn't, you just repeat the steps again.
They could understand you yet not be on the same page as you.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could just not understand you. You just want to figure out where they are on that.
Yeah. So he might... Okay. So if you're the one who didn't do the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if we role play right now. How would you, when I ask you, so what do you think about all that? What would you say?
I'm sorry, I'm in the hospital right now and just bleeding out. I was attacked by a wolf. Or was it a badger? I don't know. It came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Okay. But it still makes me feel like I'm not respected in the situation.
Okay. How about this?
Yes.
As soon as a doctor stitched me up.
Okay.
I'll hail a taxi because I'm going to be high on drugs. They said I can't operate heavy machinery. Yeah. And so I'm going to need a taxi or like an Uber or something. When I get home, I'm going to start on the dishes. You got me on that. That was my fault.
Okay.
I shouldn't have neglected that. But I respect you.
Okay, I appreciate
and
that.
I understand
I
your
appreciate
concerns.
It. See, that's an important part of what you said. The last part where you validated me in return, saying, hey, I understand, but I want you to know that I do respect you.
Mm-hmm.
So to help, and what that does is it helps me soothe whatever wound it was that touched that in the first place, right? So as the partner, ideally what they will do is to validate your experience and validate your feelings, because your feelings are valid, just yeah. like theirs are. And then the fourth step is now where I, the person who felt disrespected about the dishes, will state my need. Right. So in this case, I might say something like, I appreciate that. That means a lot to me that you respect me and will now do the dishes. In the future, could you, if you're not going to be able to do the dishes in time, could you let me know when you're going to do them so that it'll make me feel more calm that they will get done? And so that you'll understand that, and it will also let me know that my feelings matter to you, that my feelings are something that are respected.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you know that Malcolm in the Middle clip?
Yeah.
Where Hal is asked by, is it Lois?
Yes, it's Lois.
To fix the light bulb.
Oh, I remember that.
But then he's going to fix the light bulb, and then so many different things go wrong. Like, he tries to open the cupboard and it creaks, and he goes looking for the WD-40.
Yeah.
He doesn't have it. He goes, tries to go to the store, gets to his car.
Yeah.
His car is not working properly. Now he's under the car, and she's like, Hal, I told you to fix the lights. He said, I'm working on it.
Yes. Exactly. But so that's when they would have to sit down and have this discussion, and then both of each other would be able to articulate their experiences, and they would have gone through the steps.
Yeah.
But then the fifth and final step is to check in one more time to see whether or not your spouse understood what you meant by your need, right? And yeah, those are the steps for discussion, right? And that's usually what it is that you and I go through, even though we don't talk about it explicitly, where we don't say, okay, now we're going to do number two. Now yeah. we're going to do number three. But we do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're usually the one that leads the conversation because you know the steps, right? And I'm just there.
Yeah. You do a good... See, even right now when we were having this conversation about the badger,
mm-hmm.
you just naturally did the thing. So it's alhamdulillah, it's important to have a spouse who wants you to be okay, who's invested in trying to solve the problem with you rather than to win the fight. Because part of when we come in here to have our discussions around, so to solve issues, is that we both have the understanding that neither is out to get the other. And that our goal is to fix the issue and not win the fight. Has there ever been a fight where you wanted to win? Or like, I need to be right here?
Yeah, the firefighting one.
Okay, there was one.
Yeah, that was the most recent one.
Yeah.
Because I genuinely thought people's lives were at stake.
Yeah.
Because we smelled smoke in the air.
Or do you want to explain what happened there? Did you just explain the whole thing?
Yeah. We smelled smoke in the air.
Yeah.
Right? And I was remembering what happened last year with regards to the wildfires and everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a huge ordeal, like multiple days. And so I wanted to call the firefighters just to get them to figure out where this is. And you said, no, let's not do it because they're going to think that we're like... what's the term you used? False flag or something?
I don't... False alarm?
False alarm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they're going to just like ban our house whenever we call them in the future. They're going to be like, nah, these guys call too many times. Let's not do it.
Yeah.
We're not going to come out. And I said, people's lives could be at stake. I gotta do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were saying no, but I was saying yes, but you were saying no. And then I got irrationally angry.
Yeah, you did get upset.
Yeah. And I said, no, I'm going to do it. And then you said, okay, well... if you want to do it, go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
And then I said, okay, I'm not going to do it then. If you're not on board with me, I'm not going to do it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And then a couple like minutes later,
mm-hmm.
our sister, she went out.
Yeah.
And then she confirmed. She said, yeah, it smells like it's coming from that way.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm going to call them.
Okay.
And he said, okay, well, if you want to call them. And I said, can I call them?
Yeah.
And then as I was saying, can I call them? I was calling them.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And I remember that. That angered you a bit. You're like, why are you asking me if you're going to call them?
Yeah.
Right? It made you feel like you weren't No, it made you feel like you weren't, your input wasn't respected in that case. But I did end up calling them. Mm-hmm. And they came by and they said, yeah, we've been fighting a wildfire that started yesterday. That's what you smell, is just the wind shifted.
Mm.
But it wasn't a big deal because they already had it under control.
Yeah. But you were right.
I don't regret calling them, though. Like, whenever I smell smoke, I'll give them a call just to see what it could be.
No, I learned that you were right to call. Like, that is good policy, especially the fact that there are so many wildfires here. I was just worried because it smelled so faint that it might have been somebody barbecuing, and it smelled like the whatever it was dying down.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want, because they have a history on the, like, you, whenever you, we call them, they can see on the screen how many times we've called them. And I just didn't want that to affect our family negatively in the future should we need them.
Yeah.
But it turns out that this is something commonly done, and you were right. But when you were calling them, and then you were asked, and then we were in the middle of our discussion, honestly, at that moment, I felt triggered.
Yeah.
Because I was like, okay, then if my opinion doesn't matter, then why are we having this conversation?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I had to do that de-escalation and just sort of move away.
Yeah. After all was said and done, I came up and I apologized.
Yeah, you're a sweetheart. Like, in this case, to be honest, I think it was me. I was the one who was in the wrong. You didn't actually have to apologize, and I appreciated that you did. But it was a good example of a place where we both disagreed, but it worked out. And in the future, God forbid, if we smell more smoke, I'm just going to go to my room and journal. You call whoever it is you need to call. We'll handle it that way.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay, so that's triggering and de-escalation and the discussion. Now, in the course of our marriage, we have unwittingly come across a few, I don't want to call them hacks, but a few strategies that seem to have worked for us really well. The first one is that phrase of, this is my 100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is my 100.
Yeah, where in the very beginning, I think it was the second month of our marriage.
Yeah.
After our first fight. The one, yeah, about the smoothie. You remember that one?
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. So after that first fight, we're like, okay, we need to come up with a system for how we're going to deal with this. We decided that whoever wanted it more, like if they felt like I really need this to work out my way in the moment without having a discussion, you just say, this is my 100. And the other person just has to back down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like that was something that worked out really well for us. We only used it the one time.
The one time, yeah.
Do you remember?
With the smoothies, was it?
No, it was the lamination.
Yes, the lamination, yeah.
With the cards.
The health cards.
I feel like we had more fights than we're remembering.
Were small fights, though, that's the thing.
Yes, alhamdulillah. But during where we are at, the health cards are something that have to be laminated. And I wanted to laminate them one way, and you wanted to laminate them another way. Me, with my core wound of things having to be done right, especially when they're associated with the state, I was really worried that if we didn't do it the right way, that it would somehow affect us negatively. So I was just in a triggered state, and I said, listen, this is my 100. And you just backed down and you said, okay, I'm gonna let you have this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I appreciated that. Again, it turns out you were right. I'm sensing a pattern here where the way that you wanted it done was actually the way we were supposed to do it, because the first time I went to an appointment after that, they said, why did you laminate yours this way? And I said, okay, we're not gonna go through this. Just take the car. But so again, you were right, mashallah. Another strategy that we found works for us, because for context, we live with my sister and her son, so our nephew, my sister and my nephew, who you can hear in the background makes random cameos sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yes. But because we are living together in the same house, we try not to have any kind of fight or disagreement in front of them.
No visible arguments.
Yes, we need to keep up this front for legal reasons. But in order to avoid having those arguments, when we see it's going back down that road, we just look at each other and somebody will say, let's discuss this later. So when we were talking about before, de-escalation techniques, so walking away is one. The one that we found works for us is whenever I feel triggered or you feel triggered, we just say that line of, let's discuss this later.
Yeah.
And that gives us the space to go and self-soothe and calm down and do all those steps and then come back into the office and then have the discussion and do all of those steps. Yeah.
It's very effective.
It's been helpful.
Yeah.
I remember one time we were actually in the car driving somewhere pretty far away and we were far from home and we were having a conversation where I felt pretty triggered and you could sense that. And even though there was no one in the car except us, I said, let's discuss this later. And he said, okay. So we waited until we came all the way back home to the, and then we had our discussion in the office.
Yeah.
Because it just works better here.
It's the accumulation of all our past calm spaces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All those calm conversations.
Yeah. And the calm feelings as well. Like you, we felt calm in those conversations. And so we were able to draw upon those feelings.
Like it's Pavlovian.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's the exact word.
Yeah. It's Pavlovian. As soon as you come, everybody sits in their position. We know how it's going to play out. Alhamdulillah, that means it's where it's helped a lot. So that's why whenever I'm with my clients and we're going through our conflict resolution courses, a big part of that is learning how to establish the safe space. And a big part of that safe space was the things that we discussed. But in addition to that, and as part of establishing your safe space routine, is to talk about what it is that you want when you feel angry. For me, I usually need a few minutes to step away, which is what I've been doing during the course of our marriage. And why it was helpful to have that discussion then, or to have that information, is so that whenever I step away, you understand it has nothing to do with you. It's just me needing to go and gather myself and consolidate the information and make sense of it. And when you have that conversation with your partner and you each know what you're going to do during that situation, it keeps everything a lot more calm.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you keep following that same routine, there's a routine to it, right? So whenever we have a fight, you know, or not a fight, but whenever we have a disagreement, I'm going to say the line that I need to step away. You know, I'm going to be gone for 20 minutes or whatever it is. You know, I'm going to come back whenever it is I feel ready. And then we go through, like, there's a routine to it. And that takes so much of any extra anxiety out. Because what tends to happen when clients come to me and they've been married 2 years, 3 years, or however many years, and they have come to an impasse. So there's a lot of resentment there from one spouse or both spouses, and they're fighting all of the time. They get to a point that they're walking on eggshells around each other. They're scared to have any kind of disagreement. Because in addition to solving the disagreement itself, there's all this added emotion of anxiety. So it's like Pavlovian, but in the negative sense, where that they're remembering how all the previous fights didn't go well, how they escalated so quickly, how mean things were said on one side or both sides. And they're just in an effort to avoid all that, they avoid having discussions and more resentment builds. And you can see how that becomes difficult to walk back out of, right? So the routine of it all removes a lot of that anxiety out of the equation so that we don't shy away from fights. And during your first year of marriage, don't be afraid to have as many of these discussions as you need to. If you find yourself walking back into your safe space to have another discussion 3 times a day, okay, that's what you need.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you need. That's what you need to talk out the things. because it's better to have too many discussions than to start building resentment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Argument is resentment.
Yes, absolutely. Resentment is like rust. It will eat away at your marriage without you realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you just need to have as many of these discussions as you need in as calm a way as you can, and as routine and almost boring way as you can, to be able to take the resentment out of the equation, the anxiety out of the equation, and that's what you do. If you are able to establish that in your first year of marriage, you have a very good chance of things working out, inshallah.
Inshallah.
I would say that's probably the most important thing to establish, and the most challenging thing, given the fact that we don't really have this education in school, in the masajid, from our parents, really from any source. So it's very important. And when it comes to premarital counseling, premarital coaching in my case, for the clients that I see, this is what we focus on,
mm-hmm.
of how to establish these conflict resolution routines.
Ideally, in your life,
yes,
in a perfect scenario,
yes,
you learn how to talk twice.
You do? What are the twice?
When you're a kid.
Yes.
And when you're in a relationship.
When you get married. That's a really beautiful way to talk. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're now having to learn how to communicate all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And subhanAllah, sometimes I have clients that come that don't share a common language. And it's just that much more difficult.
They're learning how to talk three times.
Exactly. And that's just much more challenging. Okay, so that's when things are difficult or challenging in a marriage, to establish good conflict resolution routines is the second way, or the second ingredient of a healthy relationship. Now let's go back to the first ingredient of support when things are good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so when people ask, what do you mean by support? There's two types of it, right? So supporting one another in your own personal development, in your careers, in your spiritual development, in your relationships with your other family members, in whatever way that they need support as an individual. So supporting one another. So I call that internal support. And the second way is supporting one another against outside sources, so external support. So the type of support where you now have to show up together as a united front to be able to take on challenges together, right? So for example, neighbors, you might have difficult neighbors. So you now need to show up as a united front to be able to deal with these neighbors. Sometimes you might have a challenging situation with family members. You need to show up as a united front to have, etc., right, etc. So the support. So that support doesn't just materialize out of the blue. You need to establish a good culture within your relationship of little things that you do throughout the day that sort of fill up your love tanks, right? That sort of build that closeness between you, so that when it comes time to support your spouse or to support one another against outside sources, you are now able to do that, right? So you have to invest in daily routine. Again, there's routine to it, in daily routines of emotional intimacy between the two of you to be able to support each other when you need it, right? So there's an infinite number of ways to do that daily routine, right? There's an infinite number of techniques. If you type into Google ways to become closer, your habits, that'll help build closeness in your marriage, or habits that build emotional intimacy in your marriage. There's like literally thousands. There is as many habits as there are people, because they will be unique to your relationship.
Yeah.
So let's give a few examples of habits within our relationship.
Okay.
So we have a handshake.
Wait, dude.
We do. It's very corny, but I love the fact that we have a handshake.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain that?
Yeah, it started out with like a three-step handshake our last anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
We just said, hey, you know what? Let's start this handshake. And each anniversary, we're going to build upon it.
Yes. Right?
This most recent one, we had added one extra.
Yeah, you're doing it now.
Yeah, I was about to initiate the handshake, and then I realized they can't see.
Yeah.
So we're thinking 50, 60, 70 years into our marriage, inshallah.
Inshallah.
We're going to have a super complex handshake that only we've memorized.
Yeah.
And whenever we initiate this handshake, it takes 30 minutes of our day. We're going to be thinking, why are we doing this? But by that point, we'll have too much time on our hands.
Yes.
You know? So, like, the handshake's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so cool. I think I added the last step, so next time it's going to be you that's adding a step, no?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do, but it will involve several steps.
Whatever you do will help. It could only involve one step.
Yes, it's true. Okay, it'll involve both hands and probably a foot. We'll figure out something.
Okay, we'll figure out something. Something it's going to be sick.
It is, inshallah.
Inshallah.
No pressure. But I like, it's something small, but again, because it's something that's just between the two of us, it helps to, it's like, it's glue, right? Mm-hmm. It's those, one of those little glues that builds in and maintains that emotional intimacy between the two of you. And again, this is something that you talk about when you're in the talking stage, because the ways in which that you do these little habits is going to depend on your love languages. And it also depends on your attachment style. And when I say attachment style, it means how much emotional intimacy are you comfortable with? And how much is your partner or your spouse comfortable with? So one of the questions that you ask about that many people forget to ask in the talking stage is, how much affection are you comfortable with giving? And how much affection are you comfortable with receiving on a scale of 1 to 10? And you really want to be moving forward with somebody who matches you. Because a very common scenario that clients come to me more often, because all my clients are women, right? So female clients or women clients come to me is, my husband is not affectionate, or at least not as affectionate as I need. He's not able to meet my needs. He's not comfortable with saying things like, I love you. And that lets me know that her love language might be words of affirmation.
Yeah.
Or he's not comfortable with holding my hand. My love language might be physical touch. Or he doesn't really buy me flowers. Her love language might be gifts, and so on. So you really want to be with somebody who is in line with your being able to give affection to a degree that you need or you are comfortable with, and vice versa. And you also want to be aware of each other's love languages. Yeah. Like, I know what your love language is.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Definitely quality time, 10 out of 10. 100% quality time. Because one of your favorite things that we do is, in addition to just, like, watching random things, is, for me, watching you play.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when you're done work and everything, you sometimes like to play video games. And you just light up when I'm sitting there and I'm watching you.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally cheer you on. Yeah. I feel like I'm a good cheerleader.
You are.
I appreciate that. You do better, I feel like, when I'm here.
Oh, yeah, significantly.
Yeah.
I also yell at my teammates stronger.
You too?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a different side of you sometimes.
Yeah.
But quality time, right? So it's important to know what your spouse's love language is. Mine is clearly words of affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the, when you found that out, you did beautiful things, like you would write me poetry. And that means a lot to me, and I still have a lot of those poems.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to meet your spouse's love language or need for affection in a way that they understand affection is very, very important. So that's something that you should clear up during the talking stage, inshallah.
Those are all wonderfully valid points, and you're a person that should be respected.
I appreciate that.
Get affirmated.
I am. I am. Another thing, like, I had a client who had this lovely idea of checking in with her spouse regularly, maybe once a week, once a month. I forget the frequency. But the way that they would do the check-ins is that they would write things down and then they would meet at a aforementioned spot, their living room or dining room or wherever it is. And then they would sit down and they would have like a business meeting, but about their marriage. And I thought that was a beautiful idea. But for most clients, what I would recommend is to have a similar setup, but a lot less formal. Right. So what we do in our marriage, and I know it annoys you very much, but it's still important to have the check-ins because I really get a lot of information about the things that I do or don't do and how they affect you, is about like once a month, I'll ask you informally at random times. I'll just be like, "Hey, I'm gonna ask you those annoying questions now." I ask you, "What's something that I did that you loved?" Or what's something that I did that made you feel loved? What's something that I did that didn't make you feel loved? So the opposite of that. And questions like those. Yeah. And mashallah, you bit like based on your answers, it's given me a lot of information about places I should pivot.
Yeah. The
Yeah.
problem is that between the times that you've asked me those questions,
Yeah.
the positives are always consistently positive,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
And you don't very often do anything reg negative.
Oh, good.
So I'm running out of things to say. You can't possibly improve because you've already hit that phase, you
Oh.
know? I can't say perfection because that's Allah only,
Yeah.
but you've gotten close to it.
I appreciate that. Jazakallah khair. But I think of it closer to like a business meet. Like if you had a company and you had like check-ins once a month, right? The answer to the check-in is
Would
everything's
you be
fine.
like a business partner, or is this me evaluating an employee? I can answer in both regards.
Okay.
Would you want me to give both answers?
In both answers,
My
yes.
principal rule.
Oh, goodness. We're gonna come back to that.
Okay,
I think we've
so
lost our surprise, a couple subscribers. I can feel them clicking the button.
if I were to evaluate you as a business partner,
Yeah.
I would immediately make you CEO,
Oh,
right?
I appreciate that.
Like if this was a board,
Okay.
I would buy out the other members
Okay.
and then just transfer ownership to you and be like, why haven't we been doing it this way this whole time?
Yeah.
If you were my employee,
Yes.
I would vie for the CEO position and then transfer it over to you. Because why haven't we been doing that the whole time?
Oh, that means a lot to me. I appreciate that. Jazakallah khair. But yeah, so it's I'm just gonna because you know that words of affirmation is my
Get
love language. There
affirmated.
you go. And now I have it on recording. Thank you. But for the sake of what we're talking about, it really is helpful because I don't remember specific instances because we've been married for some time now. But I remember in the beginning, the answers that you would give me would let me know that this thing that I was doing is actually kind of annoying and I should stop doing that. And I did. I hope I did. Inshallah, I did. Or this thing that I'm doing is something that's really great. And I didn't notice that it was something really great and I should do more of that. And of course, your spouse is answering the same questions for you so that they also have that information. But yeah. Because when you are in your first year, this is somebody that, whatever way that you felt during the talking stage, however it is that the two of you felt, let's just say like it's full Romeo and Juliet, just like the maximum level of feelings that could be felt during the talking stage. Once you are married and you are now sharing a house and a rent, you're now having to come up with rent together and you're sharing all of these responsibilities and you're now tackling on life. Whatever you felt during the talking stage, as compared to what you feel about each other now, is like a drop in the ocean. It's non-existent. It's like you were just playing before. Because before you didn't have to rely on each other, whereas now you now have to rely on each other, and there's this shared history, and you're now building the trust within one another of, each one continuously showing up for the other. And with that, do you find that what how you feel about each other, inshallah, will grow bit by bit by bit. And when you add in the daily habits that you do, and now one of an important one that we didn't talk about yet is the greeting routines.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you wake up in the morning, or whenever one of you leaves the house and returns, or when you're going to sleep at night, you establish little routines to reconnect.
We have a routine of ourselves.
Yeah, we do. Alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. And it's very important that you have these little reconnection routines, because again, it will reinstate this closeness.
Yeah.
Yes. And all of this closeness will add up to you supporting one another in life and supporting one another against the people outside, right? The external environment. So when you have that support in place, when things are good, and you have the great conflict resolution when things are difficult together, that adds up to a great marriage. Inshallah, those are the two ingredients that you need. And establishing the two routines around those two during your first year of marriage are absolutely crucial and key. And whenever I have clients who come to me after 6 months, after 7 months, whatever, under a year, I can find pinpoint that the issues are usually rooted in one of these two not being established.
Mm-hmm.
So the most common reasons that clients come to me after a year or under a year who are ready for separation, divorce, etc., it's because they don't know how to fight properly yet, right? They're just triggering each other's wounds and entering these vicious cycles that are hard for them to de-escalate.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have these big issues that they haven't figured out how to talk through without once again triggering each other.
Yeah.
And resentment building. Or usually the woman will come to me and say, he's not affectionate. He's not meeting my needs.
Mm-hmm.
And the need for affection is not something that should be ignored in your spouse. It's almost biological, right? It really determines the difference between feeling okay and feeling really not okay and anxious, and you're in that mind space of, well, why did he marry me? Why?
Mm-hmm.
So meeting each other's needs for affection, that support is missing. And I think that's a very good summary of the first year of marriage.
It's a wonderful first year.
Alhamdulillah. Like for the brothers, like for to hear from a man, inshallah, the brothers who are in their first year of marriage, what would you recommend that they do from a man's perspective?
Two primary things, really. Yeah. The first one is really important, the whole establishing routines, mm-hmm. right? Specifically, the nighttime routine. You want to set up some sort of like phrase before you guys go to sleep. It's something that you say every time you guys go to sleep, right? Like you and I, we have that phrase where we say, I love you, good night, assalamu alaikum.
Yes.
The reason why we say assalamu alaikum, it's obvious.
Yeah.
A little morbid, right?
Yeah.
But it's the last thing we want to say. If one of us were to pass in the night,
yeah.
we'd at least have said assalamu alaikum
yes.
to the other. The other two, right? I love you, good night. I love you, good night.
Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum. We had an argument once.
Yes.
That actually was not resolved.
Yeah.
Right? And we were about to go to sleep, both of us, in that state of like anger or frustration.
Yes.
And we went to sleep without saying our passphrase. And we could not fall asleep. We were in bed tossing and turning for like 30 minutes or an hour. And we gave up on trying to sleep. But we turned to each other and we decided to talk it out. And that was wonderful. That was a byproduct. Right? It wasn't something that was intentional. We just could not fall asleep until we spoke with each other and we calmed each other down. We came to an understanding. We were able to say, I love you, assalamu alaikum, right? I love you, good night, assalamu alaikum. And then we fell asleep immediately. It was perfection.
Okay.
Right? The second thing for men, no matter how masculine, how tough, how much testosterone you have, don't be afraid to say, I love you, to your wife, right? Because it's the one person that you should be comfortable showing your tender side, right? It's the one person that keeps your secrets from the outside world. So no matter if you're trying to have this tough guy act, this macho, machismo, right, persona of yours, or even if you are genuinely just a tough guy, eat nails for breakfast, mm-hmm. right? Drop it. You're not supposed to be a tough guy in front of your wife.
Yeah.
Who are you trying to tough? Is she going to hurt you? No. She's there to help you. She's there to heal you.
Yeah.
So don't bring up any walls against her. And tell her that you love her. Don't be shy. Right? Say, oh, you're beautiful this morning. Oh, you're beautiful. If she tries to pick a fight with you and she says, what do you mean? Was I not beautiful last night?
Yeah, that was literally my next question.
Exactly. See? Huh?
Yeah.
You know your wife, right?
Yeah.
You say, every time I see you, you're more beautiful than I saw you last.
Oh, there you go.
Mashallah. I'm saying your beauty so far surpasses you today that I forgot your beauty last night.
That's so sweet. Jazakallah khair. Honestly, I think that's very good advice. Mm. And if people are able to heed that, because again, one of the most common reasons that people come to me on the verge of divorce in the first year is exactly what you mentioned in the second one, where the woman is saying, my husband is very distant. He's not really affectionate. He's not really showing me that. I don't feel loved by him at all. I don't know why he married me. Like, that scenario is very common. And I would say probably the third most common reason for divorce overall that I see in my practice from the Muslim community. So it is not something small, and I definitely would agree with everything that you said. And I remember when we were first married, when we were having these conversations, it's something that you told me that you had to learn, because we're both divorced, previously mm-hmm. married.
Yeah.
So I remember you explained that after your divorce, this is some information that you had learned and had actively tried to reinstate in your marriage to get with me. I did do a lot of the learning before we were married about what to do up until marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But in the process of our marriage, it was a lot of on the ground, a lot of on the ground training,
yeah,
and trial and error. And alhamdulillah, like based on all the things that we read and all the techniques that I've seen, we were able to put together these systems that I feel like worked well for us. And we're now able to teach other people to do. And alhamdulillah, so far I've been working well for them. But again, what you mentioned about showing affection to your wife or to your husband, because sometimes I will have men who come to me saying that this is an issue on coming from their side, where their wife is not very affectionate, that she's a little bit avoidant and distant as well. So that is something important to address in your marriage through all of the techniques we discussed today in today's episode with regards to support. So I think that's everything. Jazakallah khair for listening. We really appreciate it. And inshallah, you benefited. And we'll see you next week. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.